And I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2777. Jimmy, you want to tell us about this bill, please?
House Bill 2777 requires the governor to submit an annual report to the Legislative Assembly listing all individuals working for state government during previous calendar year and including total annual cost of employing or contracting with each individual.
Okay.
Does not have a subsequent referral.
Does not have a subsequent referral. Let's see, is there anybody here who, I have a blank sheet. Is there anybody here who wants to testify on House Bill 2777? Close public hearing on House Bill 2777. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3028. Jim, you want to tell us about this bill, please?
Yes, sir. House Bill 3028 directs the governor to establish a citizen's suggestion incentive plan. Directs the Oregon Department of Administrative Services to determine savings attributable to implemented suggestions during a 12-month period immediately following implementation. Requires that the Oregon Department of Administrative Services pay to person that filed the suggestion 10% of the amount so determined from monies appropriated for that purpose. This does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
It does have a subsequent referral.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I have one person. Gene, you want to come up?
Sure. I wonder where everybody is this morning.
Just give the materials to Kelly. And you need, are there enough copies for all committee members?
Yes.
Okay, great. Sounds good.
Is it one?
Well, I mean all the committee members that aren't here yet.
Yes, there are.
Okay, great. Great. And Eugene, whenever you're ready, just go ahead and you can go ahead and start.
Well, I'm Eugene Schoenheit. I basically wrote this bill. And this bill is here today. It means a little work. I'll just start out by saying that. But I've got some bugs that I have worked out of it.
Okay.
And what this bill is about is basically that it supports and promotes citizen involvement in the state and in the legislative process. We did a little research, and we researched about 500, the first 500 bills, House bills, and found that maybe about 1% were actually citizen driven. Most of them were from agencies or representatives, but the actual citizen level is low. And we're trying to promote this so that we have a little more involvement. Interesting point, the employees have their own plan, it's already established. And I'd like to explain this bill a little bit better. I'd like to refer to the cover sheet, because this cover sheet really explains what it's about. And the idea is to suggest that citizens put in a suggestion that we or the state responds to the suggestion by writing a thank you. That's not in the actual bill itself. And it creates a tracking number, and how we would work this as, say, cost-effective means is to do it, electronically, internet-style fashion, like you would track, house bills. So a citizen, writes a suggestion, the office responds to the suggestion, sends them back a thank you, and gives them a tracking number. After they receive a tracking number, it's placed on the internet under, bills and laws, legislature in that area, suggestions that have been submitted. And, so citizens and everybody else can say, go in there anytime and look up and see what people have written for suggestions. And basically that takes you to the second page. And I pretty much covered the second page here, but throughout the bill we need to fix things because things have been lost in the interpretation. Anyway, on the second page, I suggest that we correct the bill to say. And pretty much is what I just said. And the last thing that was omitted on section 4 in the bottom, I thought that when payments are, say a citizen, say, receives a payment for a cost savings, it should be Oregon tax-free. And maybe I know that's not a common thing in government, but they do, Oregon does sell, you know, tax-free bonds and that sort of thing, so it's a practical idea. And that's pretty much as far as how it's operated and administered. It looks okay. It's just I'd like to, you know, explain myself, you know, about the electronic processing.
Okay.
Questions?
Now, Eugene, you do have a couple of things in here that are for example, on page one of the bill, line 14, you've got a title that is not to exceed 25 words. You've got, and then you've got the suggestion itself, the body of it is not to exceed 200 words. I'm just wondering why you would put those kind of restrictions in.
I took this partly from the employee suggestion plan, but partly from how house bills are written. And house bills are written that you have a title and how the, you know, what the bill, you know, basically affects.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it doesn't have to be exactly that way. It's just a recommendation, and it's kind of like, you know, you have a title and
okay,
and what it does, and then the meat of the thing.
Okay, Eugene, do you have more copies of this?
I sure do.
Of this, you need to give. You need to give Kelly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, please. That's so that each member can have a copy, and our administrator. Now you also in section 3 you have this going to the to the state representative or the state senator. But that's just a copy that goes to the representative or
yes,
the senator.
Yes.
It's not.
Okay, let me explain what my thought was here. A citizen makes a suggestion. Maybe you're the representative.
Mm-hmm.
You'd like to have a heads up as to, hey, here's a great idea I could write a law on. Maybe it should go to you first before it goes to everybody else. That's the theory behind that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, I don't have any other questions. And these now, on the second page of your handout, these are suggested amendments to the bill.
Yes, and that's because we didn't somewhere along the line in the original writing versus what we intended was not quite.
Okay.
Quite the same, and the internet, you know, is important. Otherwise, we'd be spending, you know, office hours and hours and hours, you know, doing mail and processing, where the internet just makes it simple and fast.
Okay. Do you expect the savings to be greater than what it would cost to administer this program, and also do you expect the because if we're paying money out tax free to Oregonians that make suggestions that save us money, so you're anticipating that the savings will be greater than the total cost of the program?
Yes, I'd like to explain two things here. One good suggestion to save money will pay for this, you know, program for years. That's the first thing, but. The other thing is, if you can find a suggestion, you know, that saves $100,000 for every year for the next 5 years, you're still only paying for the first 12 months of that, and you're only paying a percentage of that, say, to the citizen.
Okay.
So if you, say, can figure out a way to save $500,000 over 5 years, your actual cost to the citizen with this plan is $10,000. Maybe you might spend the first year's savings, you know, in a, say, administration, but the rest is clear. I mean, from a business point, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay. I need you to hang on for just one second, okay?
Okay.
I have to do this. I'm going to close the subcommittee hearing on House Bill 3028. I'm going to open the regular committee on audits, and I'm going to reopen a public hearing on House Bill 3028. Okay, now you can go ahead. And as a matter of course, does he need to state his name again, Kelly?
Gene Schoenheit.
Okay, that's good. Okay. Do you have an example of a suggestion that would maybe save the state, a boatload of money, and is that something that you've run through anybody? As far as like, I know, I see that Representative Krupp is a sponsor, is a chief sponsor. Has he had a suggestion, for example, run through legislative revenue or run through legislative fiscal to see how that would know?
You're going to have to ask him. I don't have any profit motive in this. I have I have no suggestions to make to the state at this time. I had thought of a suggestion of when we start talking, maybe somebody comes in with an idea for a better road sign. That this process would work. All kinds of things. It's wide open. It could be anything.
Sure.
Save money.
Sure. Okay. Okay. Are there any other questions for Mr. Schoenheit? Thank you very much. Appreciate you bringing this idea forward. We have next Jason Williams to testify.
Chair Crummell, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jason Williams, Executive Director of the Taxpayer Association of Oregon. I'll just be very brief on House Bill 3028. It's that we support it in any idea that we can help bring suggestions and innovation and new ideas to the table. When I created my report, 175 Ways to Balance a Budget, one of the valuable resources was from Arizona, where they used a lot of suggestions, and really, I think most of it came from the employees themselves, but they were able to come up with, I believe it was 900 suggestions on how to change different departments. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, that makes my 175 ways look kind of small. But I mean, just knowing that there's other states out there where there are just hundreds and hundreds of suggestions coming in, I think that is the type of state we want to have. And if we can do that by going to the citizens and saying, hey, here's an incentive, or here is a process to take. Because right now, we get calls at the Taxpayer Association. People will say, hey, I see this government operation or this government program, and they're just not doing it right. And I just have some great ideas, but I feel like I'm blocked out. I don't know where to go. And sometimes the only suggestion is, we'll talk to your representative and pass a law. But if there can be more of a process to help link together the citizens and government into that innovation and changes, we would definitely would love to be behind it and see that happen.
Okay, thank you. Do you think that this is a way of giving people incentives to try to figure out ways of helping government, as opposed to just continuing to be critical but not offering any suggestions?
Chair Crummell, members of the committee, there is always that possibility, and I think that as long as the parameters are set that, hey, this is about effectiveness and efficiency, this is about delivering the same product in a way, and oftentimes when people bring up an idea, they're pointing to someone else, like the private sector, and saying, hey, here is someone who can do that, who already does the same thing and saves money. So as long as it has good parameters and good protections, then I see that it accomplishes its goal.
Do you think that having these suggestions kept on file for 5 years, and then at the legislature or a agency implements the suggestion, that that's a that, I mean, is that a sufficient amount of time, or is that too much time, or give me your thoughts about that.
Chair Crummell, you mean for 5 years that it should be on file for longer? Is that what you're...
Yeah, should it be longer than that, or should it be shorter period than that?
Chair Crummell, members of the committee, I think you could start out with 5 years and see how it works and go from there. Obviously, you don't want to, you know, a lot of it depends on after the program is running. Then you can see if you know, if it's highly successful and you feel like things are doing fantastic, you can extend the date. But I feel like with the five-year limit that you can probably see with the idea that even the author is trying to not create his own bureaucracy.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Are there any questions for Jason? Representative Rosenbaum?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jason, your testimony actually raised a question that I was thinking about, because you're already getting calls, it sounds like, from people who have some suggestions. Do you really think we need this pretty hefty financial incentive, or would people do that anyway if there was a place to go?
Chair, members of the committee, I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, for people, a lot of times, to find us, they get frustrated, and they will maybe search in the phone book, or they see us in the newspaper. Oftentimes, it's because we're in the newspaper, and they say, oh, there's a tax guy out there. Maybe he will listen. But if there's an employee suggestion program, I think it would be better to kind of, you know, shine a light and give something for people to see that there is a process.
Follow-up,
Representative Rosenberg.
Yeah, and I'm not arguing with that. I'm just asking you, if you've already got people calling with suggestions, that if there were a place to go, they would make them, then is it also necessary to pay money in order to get people to do what it sounds like some people are already doing?
Chair, members of committee...
Especially in light of your concern with the taxpayers...
Yeah. Chair, I would say that money brings the incentive really helps, I think, not only add more people, but it also helps people to maybe carry the project to its end. So nothing beats an incentive.
Okay, thank you. Jason, are you, and I probably should have asked Eugene this also, are you familiar with the Save Oregon program that Anavort Consulting has presented to many legislators, and as a matter of fact was actually presented to the House Interim Committee on Operations and Oversight?
Chair Crummell, I haven't heard of that.
Okay.
I'd love to hear about it.
Okay. Members, just for your information, did everybody get a copy of this?
Yes.
Okay. This is a program now, you know, this is a company that they're a consulting company, and I think that it probably, the disclaimer here is that, you know, they're also profit motivated, which is fine, and I appreciate the fact that Mr. Schoenheit came up and said, you know, he's not doing this for profit, he's just wanting to suggest this. But this, the Save Oregon program that you have in front of you was presented by Anavort to the House Committee on, the Interim Committee on Operations and Oversight. There are some interesting things in here, and it does, some of the things that they talked about, for example, are the B-2 bomber program that the feds had, and trying to figure out ways of saving money and taking suggestions that some of the engineers and other folks had taken to try to reduce their costs, and they were able to save, I don't know, some astronomical amount of money, $400 million or something, maybe even higher. And this was sent to us by Susan Wilson from the Human Resources Division of Department of Administrative Services. So I'll just call your attention to it, and I don't know if we have any other copies or not, Jim, but maybe if Mr. Williams wanted to take a look at it, that would be fine. Otherwise, you can come up to my office, and I'll let you use my copy. Go make a copy.
Look forward to catching that.
That'd be fine. Okay, are there any other questions for Jason? I do have another question for you also, Eugene. So if you would come back up, I'd appreciate that. And Jason, you can go ahead and sit there if you'd like.
Can I answer your first question?
Certainly.
The answer is no, I do not know of that program.
Okay. This is a suggestion that was made, and I'll make the same offer to you if you want to swing, if we don't have extra copies, if you want to swing by my office, we can, I can loan you my copy to go make a copy. But it's a, anyway, it's just interesting. Continuing to read through the bill, now if I can remember my question. Oh, I was going to ask if there was at what point was the money paid to the to a person? So you know, a person makes a suggestion to state government. And you know, doesn't hear anything back. They get a nice letter back that says, thank you for your suggestion. We appreciate you taking the time, yada, yada, yada. But they don't hear anything. And then all of a sudden, you know, 2 years later, a check shows up from the state of Oregon. I suppose there would be a letter in there. But, I mean, so at what point are we, you know, going to then reimburse people for...
You found a little hole in the bill. Well, the idea, you know, has to be analyzed by, I guess, administrative services somewhere along the line upon implementation. And, of course, at that point, you know, after, say, it's implemented, it's, say, for the first 12-month period after implementation. But you did find a little hole. Maybe that should be... If as long as we're fixing English, we should be, maybe that should be the, when administrative services reviews, maybe they should forward a copy of their findings. Maybe that's just something that needs to be added.
Okay. That was my primary question. Okay, that's fine. I appreciate you you coming up and giving this idea. Are you familiar with the employee suggestion program that we already have in place?
I have read it.
Okay. Is that something that you think is good, bad, don't care?
Well,
or are you just sort of trying to expand it to
my personal opinion of the employee program? From what I've heard is it's not well used. And what I've read is, or what I've read from the statute is that it's terribly overwritten, and it's over, well, I'm trying to say over, too much bureaucracy involved in it. It's not simple enough to be really effective. I think what I've written here is a lot simpler to, you know, understand, follow, and process, and once it's, you know, down, it's, you know, final form, it should be very straightforward for people to, you know, understand and be easy to see. And once you have it on the web page under, say, state legislature, and, you know, it's available. People can go in and look and say, oh, here's some other ideas I saw. Somebody else wrote this before. You know, at least they can go in and see if their idea had been thought of before, too.
Okay. Representative Rosenblum?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the differences with the employee program is that it has a $5,000 cap on the payout, and that yet they say that they got one suggestion that saved about $3 million, which by my calculations we would then be paying $300,000 to somebody who made that suggestion. Do you think that's appropriate, and do you think that taxpayers would think that that was...
Well, I'll take it around and turn it around to a business answer. What if you had never received that? You know, $300,000 versus $3 million, that's what? Whatever the math is, it's 2.7.
Mm-hmm. And if that's continuing over time, is that what you're trying to say?
Yes.
I'm
also,
sorry, I don't mean to be putting words
also in. this doesn't go to that extreme. I mean, if you have a, you know, suggestion here to say $300,000 or $3 million, it's only on the first year. So it does actually have a limitation. But like, again, like I say, it's from a business point. If somebody offers you a way to save a bunch of money, it's you know, if you let's say from round numbers, if you have $100,000, it's worth it. If you save $90,000, the $10,000 cost you something, but you're at $90,000 ahead. And that's what it's about.
One of the things, Representative, just to bring your attention to also and the rest of the committee's attention, we're going to have an opportunity to hear from DAS, Department of Administrative Services, a little bit about the Smart Buy program. And this is a program that was instituted about a year and a half ago, and we are now actually paying a vendor to have saved us money, and the initial calculations were that it was supposed to save us something along the lines of $20 million, and they were supposed to be savings that we could actually see, feel, touch, keep the cash, sort of a thing. And I think that our payment to the company for that program and for helping the state set it up is something along the lines of 50% of the savings. So if there's $20 million savings, that means the company, and the company that's administering it for us is called Silver Oaks, and that means we're paying that company $10 million. So if we do have citizens out there that make a suggestion, maybe 10% is not such a bad deal. But that's, and rather than have it be hearsay, we are going to get an opportunity in the next couple of weeks to hear about the Smart Buy program and exactly how it works and what the savings actually have been, and that sort of thing. So I just bring that to you and the committee's attention as far as something that we've sort of got coming at us down the pipe. Okay. Gentlemen, thank you very much. I'm going, and Jason, you can go ahead and stay there. I'm going to close the public hearing. Oh, is there anyone else that wanted to testify on House Bill 3028? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3028. I'm going to reopen a public hearing on House Bill 2777. Because I got a note from Mr. Williams that said he wanted to testify, and so I want to give him that opportunity. So,
yes, Jason. Thank you. I have a testimony here to hand out. Chair, members of the committee, we bring before you House Bill 2677, and basically, simplicity and transparency are the tools of good government. The more clear and simplified and transparent we can get our budgets to be, the better we can build, a better budget and help better manage our billions of dollars budget that we have. And this is especially true when it comes to employee costs, because employee costs are...
Jason, let me stop you for just a second. I want to make sure that we're on the right bill, because Jim brought this to my attention and said, I think he said 2677. Your documentation says 2677. We're on House Bill 2777.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a typo and a
typo.
Misstatement on your part, or... I mean, I know it's not a misstatement on our part, because,
okay,
you know, we're the legislature and we don't make mistakes. But, just kidding. I just want to make sure that you are. It sounds like,
yes,
you're addressing the bill that we had before.
Who knows? I could have just endorsed the European pair or something like that. Anyways, employment growth is oftentimes the most difficult decision to make for a private employer or a public employer, and employee costs are often the biggest part of a budget. Knowing that, it's also sometimes the hardest to quantify, the hardest to get the details on, it's hardest to really adapt to changes in the workforce. So we figure with this public employee payroll report, which simply says we need a name, a job description, a detailed job description, and a total compensation. So you add in together not just the wages, but the total benefits all together, and have that as both hourly and as a yearly cost. And so, and having this all in just one report, so that way the taxpayers and the media and people can come in and begin to do all kinds of great, good budgeting activities. One is we can better analyze how our tax dollars are spent. We can get a better picture of the job descriptions and FTEs. We can compare agencies within agencies in Oregon. We can compare agencies to the same agency in another state. And we can compare an agency to the private sector, which may be performing similar tasks. So, and we can also see, and it's not just to be able to see if we have too many employees, but it also allows us to see if we have too few employees in a particular area and be able to say, and we do this currently with teachers when we say, hey, why is it that we have, this school has fewer teachers per kids in classroom when the national average is this? And that type of cross-comparison is just vital to any type of understanding and good auditing and good getting a basic picture of how our tax dollars are being spent. So we would...
Here.
I'm trying to multicast here.
I have a question on that point, so if I may ask you that. I'm a little confused because I've been sitting on one of the Ways and Means committees, Jason, and one of the things that we do is look at the full-time equivalent employee numbers from previous years, and I'm trying to understand, is the way it's presented in the governor's report not clear? I'm not saying that information is easy to read by any means, but maybe you can help me understand. I'm just trying to figure out why this bill is necessary.
Chair Crummell, Representative Dingfelder. Well, we don't always have access to all the documents that you guys have, and it's not being able to get, or sometimes it's difficult to get. And when we look at the governor's budget, we're looking at a book that's 400 pages big to cover some $40 billion budget. And it doesn't matter if an agency grows by a few billion dollars, you still have the same amount of the budget book is still the same. In fact, if we were to look at the Department of Transportation, it's roughly 7 pages of actual text to cover a program that's almost $3 billion. So the idea about putting it all in one place, that's the other component of it, is that when you begin to put it all into one place, it becomes even easier for taxpayers and lawmakers to do more comparisons when it's singled out, put into a single book, a single report. So the fact that the governor already does a lot of this already, if he was able just to say, hey, let's just separate that information, put it all in one report, I think every lawmaker would find that very useful.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
No. This is Brown.
Excuse me, Representative Brown.
Butler's really quiet today.
He is real quiet today, and I'm anxious about the fact that he's so quiet.
Jason, can you tell me how many people work for the state of Oregon? You have just a.
Yeah, I get sometimes different numbers between whether certain education people are counted or not, but I believe it's somewhere in the 50,000. Range.
This would be quite a lengthy list. It says the report shall list individuals beginning with the highest paid and ending with the lowest paid. So I assume that would be all encompassing. So we'd have a list of 50,000 people.
Just wait, and it's not going to be alphabetized. It's going to be like a phone book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except it won't be alphabetized.
Yeah.
Well, Chair Crummell, Representative Brown, and that's something that we'd be glad to be able to put on the internet. So it would be the person's expense if they wanted to print that out.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Any other questions for Jason? Jason, I do have a question for you. The bill says the report shall include the name of each individual. We do have some folks out there that for a variety of particularly personal security purposes, we don't want their names released. We also don't want their job description, and we don't want. Well, the cost is not an issue. And the ones that I'm particularly talking about are, for example, Oregon State Police officers that might be working undercover, Fish and Game and Wildlife officers that maybe they're not working undercover, but and they should be able to produce ID whenever they are pulling somebody over, arresting somebody, and that sort of thing. But for personal safety purposes, having their name sort of floating around out there on the internet or having their name floating around in a book out there somewhere really might not be a good idea, because of them then becoming a target by a miscreant who is upset that they got ticketed or they got picked up for poaching or, you know, whatever the case may be. I'm just wondering, and we also within the Human Services Department may have some caseworkers who again could become targets because of cases that they're handling and that sort of thing. How do you resolve that? Or do we just start sort of making exceptions as we go along, as we go down the road?
Well, Chair Crummell, I'm open to an idea about having some type of clause that deals with security or, health. If they're in undercover work or something where their name, it would affect that, we would love to have a clause in there to be able to protect those people.
Members, you might remember last session we saw a bill real similar to this, and what it called for was, as opposed to the name of each individual, was that it called for an identification number, not their social security number, but an ID, a computer-generated ID number, so you could, and it didn't, and actually I think it was attached to the physician and not attached to the person, so that there would be an ID number, position description, and then an amount of money for that position, not just salary, but salary benefits, all associated expenses. Is that kind of along the lines of what you're trying to get at, or is it that you're wanting to see individuals' names and that sort of thing?
Chair Crummell, members of the committee, we just want to be able to see where our taxpayer dollars are going and get a better picture of it.
So you're sort of viewing this as being another method, if you will, of creating kind of a transparency in government, so that people can see where their dollars are going, where their government spending is going.
Chair, exactly. And the more transparency and simplicity we have, the better budget you guys can build, the better budget we can build.
Okay, thank you. Other questions for Jason? Did you have anything else that you wanted to address? Or?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, great, thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on House Bill 2777? Gene, come on up. Make sure you have to state your name again for the record.
Eugene Schoenheit. I just had a comment I'd like to make, and I've read a few, say, Clackamas County budgets, and I'll just use an example. That if you go into say libraries, you'll have a librarian assistant, clerk, custodial, whatever, that's about all the information. Sometimes that's about all the information you really need, and you can apply that to say state police, where you could have detective, assistant detective, or whatever their title is, and that's about all people say may really need to know. That's just all.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Anyone else who wishes to testify on House Bill 2777? Close public hearing on House Bill 2777. And we're going to move then to House Bill 2382. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2382. Jim, would you bring us up to date, please, with the amendments that we've had that we've had drafted on this?
Yes, sir. We have the -2 amendments. It actually is three parts. The first part, I had to combine the -1, and that was to restore the $500,000 limit down from $1 million. In dealing with Phil Hopkins from the Secretary of State's office, we removed the language that counted the receipts and borrowing of a municipal corporation as a requirement for an audit or review. And then we also added the language that auditing standards to the definition for terms of an audit or review. This does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Okay, great, thank you.
Do you want a motion, Mr. Chair?
Yes, I would love to have a motion.
Chair, I would move the -2 amendments be adopted for House Bill 2382.
Thank you. Representative Dingfelder moves the Dash 2 amendments for House Bill 2382. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? So ordered. Representative Dingfelder.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2382 as amended with the Dash 2, with the Dash 2s to the Ways and Means. Would you like it with a view pass recommendation?
Yes, I would like to see with a due pass recommendation. How do you feel about that?
I think they did an excellent job on making the changes. I feel very comfortable with the Dash 2 amendments.
Okay.
So moved.
Thank you. Representative Dingfelder moves House Bill 2382 to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Butler's excused. Aye. Okay, so it's on its way to Ways and Means. We don't have to assign a carrier because it's going to Ways and Means. So with that, then I will close the work session on House Bill 2382. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being here, ladies and gentlemen. And we will now, unless I get something posted in the next 10 minutes, which means we wouldn't be able to start until 9:30, we probably won't have a meeting on Thursday because we would be in violation of the 48-hour rule. And Lord knows, I don't want to be violating any rules. So with that, then, enjoy your day off on Thursday. And if we do get something posted in the next 10 minutes, I will have Jim notify each of your offices. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. With that, then we will stand adjourned.